fishing all the time. He be going fishing too.
You know, Leaf, when I hear that song, I think we feel like going fishing? Well, I think we all hear that, and we wish we were all going fishing.
Yeah.
You're one of the few guys that I can say that no matter when I see you, you have probably just been fishing, or you are going fishing.
Getting ready. You know it. Yeah. And I've been.
I figured. Now, it's been a, you know, we're kind of at the sort of turn of the season, just starting to,
turn
out of winter here.
Oh,
that always
I saw
means...
the first robins fly in the other day when I was standing on the river.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just heard that little chirp, chirp
if
behind
the birds
me
and... know, oh, it, it's the truth.
They
yeah
do. You know, I've noticed with the robins, they'll show up and we might have another good blanketing of snow.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they can just kind of like fly down to Pateras or something for the couple days where it's not as snowy. But it's always a sign to me that the temperatures are not turning back. We're not going to have another cold snap like that.
You know, truthfully, I have a friend who sent me a bunch of different weather analysis pages, and this last snow dump we had is actually quite late in the season.
Oh, it was really late.
We're usually past that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm pretty sure it's an anomaly, but I think we're just into a new season. So how's that translate out onto the fishing grounds?
You know, it's translated to some great fishing. We you know, we just passed a significant moon underfoot. I've been kind of studying that Sol Lunar fishing calendar that we were talking about that I was introduced to by Muskie Dave and his kind of witchcraft.
Remind me.
Well, it has to do with the relation of the moon in accordance to you on Earth as much as it does the full moon, no moon, waning moon, that
right
kind of thing. So essentially when the moon is underfoot, it's on, I guess, the other side of the planet.
Okay.
And it can alleviate or increase the gravitational pull, the bulge that like we see in the oceans as it goes around the planet. And the theory is that that has some impact on basically how those little fishy heads feel.
Sure.
Because of the atmospheric pressure, I think, basically.
Okay.
So I was out fishing on that moon underfoot day. That meant the moon was straight under the planet and it was... Let me see here. It was setting as the sun was rising and rising as the sun was setting during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting day as far as the patterns of the moon and sun. I noticed at least the whitefish were super pecky. It was almost every single cast.
Really?
Yeah. So it was, and I'd say it was significantly different than the other days that had been around
it. I would
it
say that in itself would say that's a different day.
Yeah, because I'd had a few days there of just like one bite or zero bites.
Yeah.
Just kind of nothing. So, and it... I noticed during that week it was a big spike that came up on that day. So the fishing was just basically neutral or crappy on every other day. And you usually see a slower rise, a more of a plateau of generally similar days, not really much different from the next. And that one was significantly, supposedly better.
Like
and
a peak.
And so in the little bit of time I had to fish that day, I could say at least the whitefish were jumping around on my hook and had a pretty good day of that.
Awesome.
It's supposed to have everything to do with the other animals, too. I was trying to pay attention to, like, you know, seeing if the deer were walking around, up and walking around, or feeding. If the birds were flying. Saw a few eagles. Some giant pod of ducks there at Pete's where I was fishing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hard to say. I'm not really a mammal biologist, but I did notice the fishing was a little bit better.
You're a mammal appreciator, though.
I do. I appreciate
like everything
them greatly.
Yeah.
I love all those animals.
Well, you're a lucky guy. You get to be out in Mother Nature as part of your
it's
gig.
It's been beautiful. And so, you know, one thing that has stood out to me as far as that was the other day, you know, I needed to go and get some supplies for this fly tying class coming up on the 18th here at Twistworks.
Yes, we want to talk about that.
And so I went over to North 40, saw my buddy Keith over there, and got some fly tying materials and asked for a few suggestions on patterns for Omak Lake at this time of the year.
Oh,
and he hooked me up with a couple of his, what were they, LC minnows, which I guess is probably Lahontan cutthroat minnows.
Okay.
Like a small clouser pattern, just real sparse minnow-looking thing with big bug eyes. And I go there in the middle of the winter, as we talk about in the past, and more or less just do a lot of casts and just kind of counting down the depth of the line and praying to the fish gods for hours. And it took me about an hour to get to the right spot, went to the wrong side and was getting the wind in my face and just kind of had no back cast, went around to another side. And and fished for about 30 minutes there on the old ferry landing. There's mm-hmm. this cool giant rocky point over there in Mission Bay, by the way, which is the only one you can access at this time of the year. The other one, Beer Can, at that end of the lake is snowed in. But Mission Bay has got this cool old ferry launch with these giant, you know, cement features that I guess would have slid ferries into the water back in the day.
Huh.
And then footings of an old, I guess, dock and stairway at the top of this cool rock point, this big, significant rock point. And you're standing underneath these big, beautiful cliffs that have like these ice, you know, cliffs mm-hmm. that the climbers could climb that have formed out of the flow that comes out of the cracks. And quite a bit of snow, more snow than I'm used to seeing over there. So it was really wintry pretty. And, you know, it's just kind of really getting into the fact that the rocks and the snow looked like an Ansel Adams picture, you know.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And had been fishing in that spot for about 20, 30 minutes, and the line just stopped. And I had been fishing long enough and kind of spacing out on the scenery long enough that I forgot that catching a fish was something that might happen. And
yeah, right.
So, and it's just the way they hit. They just stop it. They don't do anything else. You think you hit the bottom.
Uh-huh.
I pulled up, and I'd been real close to the bottom with it, and sure enough, it was shaking back at me. And that was the beginning of, like, 45 minutes of great action. I got into a 6 Lahontans, and in about 45 minutes landed 5 of them. The biggest one was probably about 27 inches, about, you know, 6.5 pounds.
Wow.
It was great.
So how deep were they?
You know, they were only, I was using this point to turn myself back at some water that was probably about 15 feet deep in the cove,
yeah.
and then maybe casting out at its mouth into about 20 feet. And so with my full sinking line, I got to the bottom in about 9-10 seconds, I found was the magical count time, and was able to be hitting bottom at that point. So I was probably finding them hitting that turn in the point. And so sometimes that makes them come up just a little bit. I mean, like we've talked about in the past, they almost follow a topographic line
mm-hmm.
around the lake, but when they hit a real hard turn in a feature, they'll sometimes rise up or turn circles a couple times before they get around that feature.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was
so
it was
the
great.
Lahontans are back on the radar.
Yeah, oh, man. And it was, yeah, like I say, just some of the best fishing I've had up there. Maybe getting a little bit more experienced at that lake too, and learning how to fish for those fish has something to do with it. But yeah, just such a good option at this time of the year. And I hear they're working on the road, so hopefully we can get down to Cowpie, not the other end there. Kind of a yucky name for a beautiful lake or a beautiful beach down there at that end of the lake. And then that'll open up the option for us to quickly get to the Tim Ranch and up to the upper end of Rufus Woods on that end of the waterway too, without having to go over Dissotel.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good.
Yeah.
Any word from iced over lakes?
You know, they're still fishing well.
Yeah.
Ice is still super stable. Maybe get on it before this next warm streak because the top might mush up a little bit.
Yeah.
The thickness is just, you know, outstanding. So it's not going to be hazardous conditions, just maybe a little slushy for the next almost month, I would say. Unfortunately, in some cases, that ice will still be on there.
Mm-hmm.
But good fishing. So, you know, you got some options there. As far as I know, the whitefish season will last a little bit longer. Give me a chance to get a few more for the smoker. Hopefully, I can get you a jar of those fish.
Yeah,
and we
man.
Can maybe sit here and have a little taste test on air.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And so, yeah, just be doing the fly tying class coming up here Saturday the 18th.
Yes. It's going to be here at the education station right below our feet. Actually.
Yeah, I haven't actually been in there, so I'll be looking forward to checking the space out.
So tell me a little bit about what this – now, it's going to be on the 18th, and this is for anybody who's – whether they've tied or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as I know, our youngest person right now is 10 that's going to be showing up. Happy to have them. Would be happy to have any youngsters or, you know, all the way to, like we say, dinosaurs when I'm doing the contest up at the loop. You know, it's mostly going to be geared towards those who are starting out or just had a hard time getting started, maybe have kind of ran into some roadblocks or just not had the ideas to keep them going. But it's also anybody that's just been tying for a long time can see what patterns I'm using and how I like to put them together.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm going to find interesting. So have you had a discount for the first half dozen? Have you filled that already?
You know, I'm not sure where we're at on that. I know we have maybe half of those spoken for. I went ahead and bought myself another vise over there at North 40 while I was over there. So I can say we have at least three or four more vices and tool setups left. So that'll be that $30 price. And then if you bring your own equipment, it'll still be $30. And then if we have to go and pick up some tools, then I'll just be upping that to $50, which will still be saving you money on the tools that it takes to get set up.
Well, let
other than that, I'm going to bring all the stuff you need as far as thread, hooks and heads and dubbing and all the stuff I used to put those bugs together.
And so let me tell folks, if you want to get in on this Saturday class, it's on the 18th, 997-3300. That's Twist Works number, 997-3300. And you'll be learning from a pro.
Yeah, give Sarah P a call there, and we'll get our tie on.
All right.
If anybody needs any more information on the stuff we've been talking, from the river to the lakes, the frozen to the unfrozen, and just give me a call, 509-429-7298, or shoot me a line at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com, or just check out the blog or podcast at flyfishersproshop.com. And remember to take care of one another. Get that fish right on. Took him on the mama by supper time. Sing men a fish pipes if you got good bit. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. With my pole, mama and my line, I'm fishing. My mama's gonna fishing.